All right, everybody, wake up. I'd like to introduce myself. Welcome to the Meet the Pros interview program sponsored by BanyanHypnosisMall.com. I'm very excited to be conducting this interview tonight. I'm Cal Banyan, and back in the day when I was first beginning to study hypnosis, I started learning about ultra depth, but I was hearing it by way of other trainers, people who were not licensed or directly trained in ultra depth. But I was curious. As I heard more and more about it, I started calling it the holy grail of hypnosis. It's kind of the mystical state. And then I was very lucky that James Ramey did a course at the National Guild Convention, and I eagerly took that course. And then as I took that course, I started learning about it from, well, gosh, the one person who's authorized to teach ultra depth. You see, ultra depth was discovered by Walter Secord, and James Ramey can straighten me out if I have any of this history incorrect. And James Ramey studied with him for many years. And when Walter Secord became ill and one was unable to continue to teach and research ultra depth, he passed the baton over to James Ramey, giving him authority to really control the destiny of ultra depth hypnosis. As I was taking that course, I became curious about whether or not ultra depth was really hypnosis. And I asked James about that because I began to suspect that ultra depth was not really hypnosis, but rather an altered state of consciousness that could be achieved by way of hypnosis. Well, we're going to hear James Ramey talk about this as he tells us the truth about ultra depth. As a result, I became certified as an ultra depth practitioner. Very proud to be certified in that way. And now let me give you, I'm very happy to give you the expert in ultra depth hypnosis, James Ramey. Please tell us about yourself and how you got interested in hypnosis in the first place and ultimately involved in ultra depth. Here we go.
Hello, Cal. How are you doing? To really begin, it was quite strange. I was in college to become a police officer. And one day, my psych professor asked me to stay after class. He wanted to speak to me. So I did, and he walked up to me at my desk and said, you're here on the police program, aren't you? I said, well, yeah, I am. And he looked a little puzzled. He said, you're on the wrong path. Quit. Then he wrote something on a piece of paper, and then he handed it to me, and I really couldn't pronounce the name, but it was Walter Secord, and there was an address there. He said to me, go to this man. He was my teacher. Tell him Jack sent you. Well, that was the beginning of the whole process. It took me 2 weeks before I actually decided to go and have an interview with Mr. Secord. And what prompted me was not so much that note, but what followed, and that was I heard Walter Secord on a local Philadelphia radio show talking about telepathic hypnosis. It was the first time I heard his voice, and I was quite interested in what he had to say. So I decided at that point to go ahead and follow my psych professor's advice and go meet this man. When I met him, it was amazing. The man was so kind, so generous, so open. He invited me back to sit in on his classes and watch what went on throughout the classes. I did that. I was amazed. I was amazed at things that followed. He taught me on the side, away from the classes, certain things way before I was trained. That was the things that actually convinced me that this is where I needed to be. And where it all really began, where I finally decided I wanted to take his training, was when he taught me how to help a person with nerve deafness who was born with that to regain their normal hearing. It took about a year. So a year later, I came to Walt and said that I wanted to take his training. He said, I know, got your attention, didn't I? She can hear now. I said, it's amazing, it's a miracle. He said, no, it's a process. There's mechanics behind everything. And then he said, I already have an opening for you in the September class. So that was how it all began.
What a fascinating story. And, you know, so many times I hear about these, quote, coincidences that bring us in touch with the people who will become our master trainers in the future. Tell me a little bit more and how you happened to begin to study ultra depth and what is ultra depth really?
Well, I took Walt's basic training, which he had literally thousands of students. During the time of the training, of course, he had us all work with different subjects for practicing. My first, shall I say, ultra-depth subject, it was quite amazing. I did not expect it, and I didn't know what I had. I was quite curious. So I pulled Walt aside one evening in class and asked him if I could speak to him about it. So I was telling him at that point what kind of results we were getting. The individual who I was working with, I explained to him all the different effects, and he said to me, you're only scratching the surface. Keep working. You figure it out. So that's what I did. After, I guess, another several weeks, he pulled me aside and said, so, what do you think of the ultra depth? I said, excuse me? He said, what do you think of the ultra depth? I said, well, I don't quite understand. He said, what you've been getting with that person that we talked about before, that's ultra depth. I was quite surprised at that point, but quite proud. And he said to me, of course, you understand, you really are only scratching the surface. Keep working with it. You'll learn more. I said, well, are you ever going to teach this? He said, I am. Keep working with it. So the way I realized this man taught was he took you so far with things and allowed you to discover on your own. So that was really the first time I got someone in this the state that he had labeled ultra depth that we now call the Secord state. And ultra depth, let me tell you my belief what ultra depth is. Ultra depth is a process using advanced hypnosis techniques to take a person to a very profound state of awareness and consciousness. So it is not really, per se, hypnosis. Hypnosis really truly ends at the deepest part of somnambulism. From there, in my understanding, you go beyond hypnosis. And if you know anything about the Esdaile state, the person who is in that state cannot respond verbally. They cannot respond physically. And of course, the Secord state is beyond that, and they cannot respond there either.
Let me catch up on that. And then that's exactly what I was perceiving is, in my understanding, hypnosis is a state of suggestibility. But what we do is we use those advanced hypnosis techniques to take a person to an expanded state of consciousness, which is not suggestible. And so we go beyond the limitations of suggestibility when we enter the client or practitioner into the Secord state. Thank you for straightening out my pronunciation of that. And into the ultra depth process. Have I got that right?
You got it. It is a process, and of course you have to start at the very bottom, the very most profound part of somnambulism.
Perfect. Go on. So if we were using the Harry Aaron scale, we would go all the way through the three levels of somnambulism, the threshold of somnambulism, and then profound somnambulism. And then from there, we go into the Esdaile state. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it's pronounced Esdaile. Dr. James Esdaile was the one who actually discovered this other state, where he performed over 5,000 surgeries in India because he had no ether. It just was not available. and none of his patients experienced any sign of pain whatsoever. This is the very beginning of things. And of course, Dave Ellman came along. Not only did he validate it, but Dave Ellman found a way to get there much quicker, to guide a person there much quicker. And of course, Walter Secord, he knew Dave Ellman, and he was utilizing a lot of his techniques. And Walter Secord, he discovered what he called ultra depth, as he said, quite by accident. But if you probably realize, as I do, there is no such thing as an accident. It's just a convenient way of getting us to do what we're supposed to do. Now, when he first came across this, he didn't understand what he had, and it took him about 20 minutes to get his colleague, Mary Borgese, who was his assistant in his magic shows, because Walter Secord, he was a professional magician. He was also a therapist. He was teaching hypnosis, but he was also a professional clown. He used his magic skills and his comedy routines as a clown to go to different hospitals and different centers to bring a smile upon the face of children who were terminally ill. He felt that they needed at least a smile before they departed from this world. So that was his goal. And he would put on the show with Mary Borgese, and he would have her in what we know at the very bottom of the Esdale state, which is called catatonia. And he had her resting on her feet on his knees as he was kind of in a squatting position. And he would have it on a black tux. She was in this white gown, and he had her in the state, and her arms were outstretched. She was stiff as a board, even though the muscles were very soft, which is one of the indications of this state, where the skeletal muscles take over and lock the limbs. Then what he would do, since she was standing like this with her arms outstretched, he would pivot, and the lighting that was used made it look as if she was an angel in flight. Then working with her one day, of course, he used these words, "Go deeper than you have ever gone before." When he said that to her, of course, she entered this ultra depth, as he called it. And following that, he noticed she had rapid eye movement. She breathed one breath approximately every minute, but very shallow. And when he tried to emerge her from the state using traditional methods, it did not work. So what he did, he had to find another way. So, of course, what he did was have her reverse backwards into the Esdale state, then up to somnambulism, and then out of state. And that's when he discovered how to bring a person in and out. The next time he worked with her, of course, it wasn't quite as simple as it was the first time he discovered this, and he had to work a little bit harder. The words, "Go deeper than you ever gone before," didn't work this time. So he had to find another way of relating this level of relaxation. And that's when he came up with the words, "The relaxation of infancy." And that's when it happened. And of course, one day she disappeared on him without any notice. He called her home. Her family said, of course, that her and her sweetheart that she was in love with ran away to Florida to get married, and that was it. So Walt was left without an ultra-depth subject. Then, of course, he had Sarah Zane as his colleague as well, and Sarah Zane was teaching classes with him. And during that time, he had conditioned her for very profound somnambulism, and he decided he was going to see if he could get her in the Esdale state and maybe all the way down into the ultra depth. Well, it did work. It took some time, and he established, of course, the Esdale state, which was also known as the hypnotic coma, and he did get her into the ultra depth, and she became very famous for it because the word he would use was elephant, and it would just drive her right there.
That's really interesting. It's so great for everybody to hear the story that I've heard third hand and fourth hand from you, who is really the living mouthpiece of Walter Secord. One thing I want to tell the listeners, in case they don't know, the common name for the Isdale state is the coma state or hypnotic coma. It's often referred to by that. And I'm glad that we're calling it the Isdale state or Isdale state in this interview, because we want to get rid of some of these negative terms like coma and that kind of thing. Good. Please proceed. Tell us more.
Well, of course, I continued working with Walt for, a little bit more than 7 years under his apron. And many times he would have me sitting right by his side, very quietly, not moving, and watching him work with different clients. It was amazing what he could do with people. Not enough time to tell you all the stories, but I saw what I believed at that time were miracles taking place. It took me a lot to accept that this anyone can do with proper guidance. Walter Secord was an amazing teacher, an amazing therapist. He had a wonderful heart. He would always put out time for the underdog, to help the underdog. Anyone in need, if he could help them, he would. If he couldn't, he would try to find them help. And I got an enormous amount of knowledge from this man. I eventually moved to Florida and continued my research. During that time, I decided to, after I was in Florida for about 4 years, I decided to pay Walt a visit. When I came back to the Institute, the Institute of Relaxation, which was the name of his school and center, I was quite amazed because Sarah, of course, was sitting in the front, and when I walked in, her mouth dropped open, and she jumped up out of her chair behind the desk, ran over and gave me a big hug, and she said, "Go on back. He'd be glad to see you." Of course, I didn't want to interrupt the class. I didn't want to interrupt the master teaching, and she said, "No, of all people, he would want you back there." So, of course, I went back to the room, and he stopped the class, and that was when he gave me the information for his fast induction technique. And he said, "We're still working with it," and he handed me two stacks of paper. One of the stacks was actually what you're doing with the client, with just the verbiage. The second stack of paper, stapled together, that was the full instructions. He said, "Work with this. Help us to see how we can refine it." Of course, that gave way for what I discovered was one of the most powerful deepening techniques that I call the arm drop. I extracted that from his fast induction technique. It's an amazing tool for deepening. I use that tremendously with everyone I work with for deepening. I get them deeper faster than any other method. Anytime I have a client who I know that is willing to give me the time to get them fully staged, and by staging I mean a key word that will take them to profound somnambulism, profound Esdale, and into the very profound level Secord, I use a lot of arm drops with them to deepen them, and I use it throughout. Of course, I use other deepening techniques as well. I found by combining number counting and by utilizing arm drop techniques, which actually trains the body to relax. It teaches the brain. Most people, when you say relax, they stiffen up. So by teaching the body how to let go, the brain picks this up, and now the person can truly relax and let go. Now, of course, one of the other things that I find that's so important is educating the person. And this is why, of course, I don't use the words coma state or hypnotic coma. I use Esdale. What's Esdale? It's the name of a person. I use Secourt State instead of Ultra Depth, because even that, to some people, is a little bit too much for them to take. So that's why, one of the reasons why we changed the name to the Secourt State. It was also to honor the man who discovered it. Now, one of the things I'd like to say about the Ultra Depth is anyone who utilizes the process can guide another individual into, all the way down into, the Secourt State. But I want everyone to know, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to get there instantly. Everyone will get there at their own pace. Walter Secourt worked with one individual. He got him all the way down into the very plenary level of the Esdale State. Then it took another year of working, conditioning this person before he finally got this fella into what he called the Ultra Depth. Now, usually it doesn't take me that long, because I've been lucky enough not to find individuals that are that resistant. But what I have found, if there's a good reason, a purpose for it, they'll go there faster. I myself utilized the same depths to have eye surgery. I had to have cataract surgery done on me. And my left eye, I elected to have their chemical anesthesia. Under the chemical anesthesia, I still could feel, and it really hurt, and the eyeball would move all over the place involuntarily. I couldn't keep it still. The doctors kept yelling at me to hold my eye still. I couldn't do it. It was just moving on its own. The second eye, I decided I was going to do myself. Now, I don't have keywords to go to any particular level, but through intent, I can get there. So, of course, my intent was to go down to the Esdale State. So I told the doctors, count to 10. When you reach 10, begin. They were a little reluctant. But when I heard them say 10, I realized I had no feelings, none whatsoever. I couldn't tell where my toes were, where my nose was. I was very comfortable. Now, they began to work on me, and I knew what they were doing from what was happening with the other eye just a few days before. But what was amazing, I couldn't feel a thing. I could tell that they were clamping my eyelids open. I knew what was going on, but I couldn't feel it. I achieved, of course, that particular level of the Esdale State where that's possible. The next thing that happened was, it seemed like only 15 minutes went by and they were done. So I thought, first of all, it didn't work. I thought that something went wrong and they gave up. And then the doctor said to me, James, what time would you like to come back tomorrow so I can remove the bandages and see how it looks? Well, I was a bit puzzled because I thought it was only 15 minutes and the first surgery took almost an hour. And when I was waiting in recovery, of course, they had an IV in me. I pulled the IV out because I didn't want it. The doctor runs over to me and he says, are you okay? Are you fine? I said, yes, I'm all right. He said, you sure? I said, yes. Yeah. Why did you take out the IV? I said, I didn't need it. He said, but you don't understand what happened. I said, what do you mean? He said to me, you stopped breathing. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you were still. And I said, well, no, I was breathing. He said, no, all your vitals stopped. I said, no, I was fine. He said, no, I'm telling you, you stopped breathing. And we were a bit concerned, but we went ahead anyway. I said, well, I'm fine. He said, I just don't understand it. What happened? I said, oh, I was just in deep self-hypnosis. He said, self-hypnosis? I've never seen anything like that before, and I've seen hypnosis before. Well, what was very remarkable was this eye, which I did myself with my own anesthesia by dropping myself into the Esdale State. This eye here had the chemical anesthesia. This eye healed faster than this eye. The doctor couldn't understand it. And of course, I realized that another part of me, even though my intent was just to go into the Esdale State, took me out of there, took me down into the Secourt State, so that I would have complete and total time distortion. The surgery was amazing. You would just, to me, I'm so grateful that I had that experience, because now I can understand the difference between chemical anesthesia and self-anesthesia, and at the levels that a person can have to have painless surgeries, even major surgeries, which I helped a woman to have a liver transplant, and she used the same techniques. I taught her how to reach all the depths. She did it all on her own, and she did wonderful. She got word back to me right after surgery through her cousin, who was one of my students, a message, and the message was no pain, no pain, no pain. And of course, when she told me this, it was very emotional for me, and I kind of got kind of tearful, couldn't talk, because I was so pleased, because that meant that she had no pain during surgery, no pain after, and still no pain. When I saw her about 2-3 weeks later, I think it was more like 3 weeks later, when she was brought to me, I didn't know it was the same woman. This woman jumped out of the vehicle, ran to me, jumped into my arms, and kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I said, wait a minute. Don't thank me. Thank yourself, because you're the one who did the anesthesia. You're the one who believed in yourself. And that's what it really takes. The individual to reach these depths must be able to believe in themselves and trust in themselves and know they're safe.
I'll tell you right now, I'd love to have seen the look on those doctors' faces when you said, count from 1 to 10 and begin. And I also would have loved to have seen the look on their faces when they had thought you had stopped breathing. And one last thing is, I'm sure that Mr. Secourt is looking down at you right now and being very proud of what you've done for yourself and what you've done for others. And I know you well enough to know that you're kind of a softy, and that you do, when you say you got a little teary-eyed, that you did indeed get choked up, because you really do care about people.
Yes, I do. I don't like to see... I guess some of Walt rubbed off on me. I don't like to see anyone in any kind of discomfort. It's not necessary. I don't like to see anyone in any ill health. It's not necessary. I don't like to see them in mentally not well. It's not necessary. And I know that we can do many things without artificial means. I've helped so many people. God, it's been a wonderful journey. Now it's close to 30 years. It seems like it was yesterday. And yeah, I do get emotional at times, because I care for people, and it's not necessary what most people put themselves through or allow other people to put them through.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about other ways that ultra depth can be used to help people besides pain management and that kind of thing?
Well, anything I've discovered, and it kind of started with what Walt was showing me, anything that you can do in hypnosis can be done to a greater degree. And I've been stopped by several colleagues of mine, so I won't use that term, I'll use this term, have long-lasting results. They don't like me to say permanent, so I'll say long-lasting results. Any type of therapy, the only thing is, when you reach these depths, that conscious person can no longer speak. Now, I'm giving you a little hint here. I said that conscious person can no longer speak. So if I can get you to really think way out of the box, I'm giving you a big hit, an awful big hint here. Now, some people who are metaphysical use the term higher self, higher mind, soul, oversoul, many different terms. Let me say that if your mind, as an operator or as the practitioner, if your mind is pure, your thoughts are pure, and your intent is for that individual's highest good, that person's other part of them that I call their subconscious, that others may call higher self, higher mind, can speak to you, guide you, and tell you how to help that individual. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm very metaphysical. I'm not. But I've had enough experiences. And when I brought this up to Walt, because it really puzzled me, he never mentioned this. So I had the opportunity to ask Walt about this. I had to. It was just driving me, and it was towards his last days. And I asked him about the subconscious speaking. Walter said to me, "Oh, yes, I know." I said, "You know?" He said, "Yes, they all do." I said, "They do?" I said, "Walt, why haven't you ever told us?" He said, "Because I didn't think anyone would believe me." I said, "Walt, I would have believed you." He said, "Oh, yes, you. But I had more than you to teach. So I had to work with the many, not the one. The one was doing fine." Of course, at that point, I was, again, you know, pretty emotional about it. But I said, "Walt, you know, the world needs to know this." And he said to me, "Not in my time, but in your time. You find a way to tell them." Now, all throughout, you know, religion, science, quantum physics, they're all searching for an answer, for guidance. It's all within us. And utilizing the altered depth process can bring this to anyone's use. As long as their heart and mind is pure. It's got to be in the right place. You have to be thinking about that individual who you're working with, and you yourself will get a gift. I've used it for people who want to improve their golf, who want to pass an exam, who's been failing. I have this little process I utilize with it called retention recall, where I help them to reorganize the material in their brain and teach them how to put themselves in that state to continue to review their material, and then to go back into that state to take their exam. I've had professionals who, without it, would not be licensed today, real estate practitioners, lawyers, radiologists, teachers. You wouldn't believe the list of people who I've been able to help with this, utilizing the altered depth process and this other little technique that I call retention recall. I've used it for anything from behavior modification, because once I get them there and set things up, they never come back. But what I get now is referrals from these people. And they usually say, "Oh, yeah, I only went a few times, so it's not going to cost you a lot." And this is where I'm getting a lot of referrals. There's so many different uses for it. Again, like I say, anything that you can do in traditional hypnosis, you can do much better utilizing the altered depth process. Now, the manual that I use to teach people with, in the back of the manual are some very special techniques that are just to be utilized in what I call a reverse staging using the altered depth process. These techniques are quite unique.
Well, I think that's really helping people understand the breadth of the different things that can be done with ultra depth. Could you tell us a couple of things about how you can tell if someone is truly in ultra depth?
All right. Well, there's certain signs you want to look for. Now, a lot of people, a lot of practitioners today, their clients go there. They don't even know they're there. They may not recognize. The first thing you want to look for, of course, is shallow breathing. Or sometimes you'll get a sound of snoring. Now, I know certain practices or certain methods, they say, you know, snoring is bad, the person's fallen asleep. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that. Snoring means that they are so relaxed that the palate in their mouth is soft and the air moving over it, of course, is causing a vibration. And we hear it as and interpret it as snoring. But listen carefully, it's different than someone in sleep and snoring, even though it does resemble it. Now, once the person that you think you may be there, a very important sign to look for is flaccidity of every muscle in the body. Like one physician said to me, well, how do you overcome abdominal contraction for abdominal surgery? And of course, I had a subject with me, and I dropped this person right into the Secord state. And then I said, well, doctor, why don't you tell me? Why don't you use your hand and press on this person's abdomen, and you tell me? Of course, he said to me, oh, my God, I can almost reach the person's backbone. And of course, you know, this is not something that I suggest people to do, but what you want to look for is complete flaccidity of the muscles, all of the muscles. In other words, they cannot sit erect when they're there. It's impossible. The body will fall over. Now, the final thing you want to look for is rapid eye movement. Now, don't mistake rapid eye movement with eye flutter. Eye flutter is the eyelids moving up and down rapidly. Now, rapid eye movement, I don't know why I was given that name, because when it's taking place, it really isn't rapid. It's a floating from the left and right of the eyeballs, just like an infant would do when an infant is sleeping and we say, oh, look, he or she is dreaming. Isn't that cute? Well, they're really not dreaming. And that's where Walter Secord realized that that was the secret. And that's why he said it is the state where it's the relaxation of infancy. And that's what it looks like. When a person is there, it looks like an infant asleep and dreaming, or as we call, dreaming.
That's very interesting. As you're talking, I'm wondering if you could tell me the difference between UltraDepth and the work that Dave Ellman was doing with the hypnosleep.
Now, Walt taught us hypnosleep too. And what I found hypnosleep is great for is working with children. And I found that it's best to teach the parent how to do the hypnosleep technique. Now, in the state, what you have is not what you will have with this when you have the individual reach the Secord state. What you have is you have access to the brain because the person is asleep. And the brain, of course, you can program or reprogram the brain. When I have parents come to me and they have a troubled child, a child who is not cooperative in school, I teach that parent the hypnosleep. And what they do, they go in and while the child is sleeping, bring the child from sleep into a state of hypnosis. And at that point, give the child positive suggestions, just positive ones, not a counter suggestion. For example, if the child's behavior in the class is talking back to the teacher, you don't say, the parent wouldn't say to the child, you will no longer talk back to the teacher. That is not the kind of thing you want the parent to say. What you want the parent to say is, when your teacher speaks to you in class, you will find yourself listening intensely, speaking to them politely, speaking to them only when spoken to, and because of this, you will feel better about yourself. You will be a happier person. Your friends, they will like you much better. Your teacher will respect you. And we will love you all the more for cooperating with your teacher. Now, with the Secord state and someone is there, you have something different. You have the person's subconscious listening. And if they choose, they can speak to you. And in the Secord state, you have something a bit different. You have the person who can actually, or part of the person who can actually change the programs in the brain. To me, the brain is nothing more than a CPU with many programs in it. And we have to work through the brain. And if you get a person into the Secord state, of course, what happens is you have access to this other higher part of them, and they can change the brain much more rapidly and keep it, I'm going out on a limb here, and keep it permanent. with hypnosleep, you may have to repeat the process over and over.
That really clears that up for me. In a few minutes, because we're always running against the clock here, I'm going to have everyone ask questions that they want to ask and then have you wrap it up. Before we get to the questions, I'm wondering, I'm sure everyone right now is thinking, I want to learn UltraDepth. I want to learn it from you. And the purpose of this interview was really to give you the opportunity to talk about the UltraDepth process in-home study course that we're now offering through the Banyan Hypnosis Mall. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about and why they should consider that if they want to learn UltraDepth?
Yes, Cal, thank you. Let me explain it this way. I had people from various parts of the world, one person in one country, another person in another country, and they were all, and it would be like maybe 12 people, and none of them could settle on where I could go and do a training. Many of them didn't want to come to me. A lot of people from other countries didn't want to come to the U.S., and it's becoming more and more difficult for foreigners to get here. And, of course, what I decided to do, and it was only because some physicians pushed me. They said, look, we want to learn this, but we can't take the time, and we know that it's more than a one-day training. Can you put it on video? Well, I made several attempts, and like I said, they were attempts. I failed each time, mainly because I couldn't get the video quality. I couldn't get the sound quality. I couldn't get what I was looking for. Then after a trip to France, I learned a lot of things. And I came back to Sedona, and I got a professional film crew, professional sound crew, and we went to it. And I took it step by step, showing from some very advanced, what I call suggestibility exercises or pre-induction exercises. I don't use the term test because test means, you know, we might fail. It sets people up for failure. So I say exercise. Anybody can do an exercise. I'll do a finger exercise. Anyone can do any kind of an exercise. So, of course, from some very advanced suggestibility or pre-induction exercises through some very short Elman techniques, from there into deepening, staging the person. I cover everything step by step, very clearly. It's on three DVDs. There is a complete training manual that goes with it, and of course a packet of other materials. Now, what I've decided to do was, because a lot of practitioners say, well, that's great. Now, I've learned how to get other people there, but how about me? So I decided to throw in something in the package for everyone so they themselves can experience the Secord state and what it's like. And it's a CD because I found you can guide people there through the same process. Okay, well, first of all, let me also add a point to it. When I got to the point of making this, I decided that the manual was going to be rewritten and updated with all the newest information, all the newest discoveries that we've made, so that everyone has the information that we have presently. And, of course, we're still continuing to go and do further research. And one of the individuals that's in the DVD, Dr. Noel Carrasco, who is an MD and has been involved in hypnosis for quite a number of years, he's taken the training himself, and we have been doing some wonderful research together with it.
You'll see that I have synchronized the screen so that you can take a look at the place on the Banyan Hypnosis Mall.com where you can take a look at the package that James Ramey is talking about. And so you can take a look at that real quick. It might help you to formulate some questions that we're going to enable you to ask him in just a few minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we move on to the question and answer period?
Yes, I'm very pleased that you've decided to put this in the Banyan Mall, and I want everyone to know that the whole thing that is available will not only help them if they get the DVDs out, open up the manual, pull out the packet of material, get the card stock out, and go through the manual as they're watching the DVDs, is the best way to learn this. You can, of course, repeat back and forth if you want, but what I prefer most people to do is utilize the manual along with viewing the DVDs. It will really help things to become more clear what we're doing there.
Beautiful. Is it okay with you then if we open it up for questions?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. If you would like to ask a question, we're just going to have you press down on the Talk Now button and begin speaking. And when you get done asking your question, just release that button. I have that Debbie is saying, first you say, this state is beyond the state of suggestibility. Would you say that this is a suggested state?
No, I wouldn't say it's a suggested state because there are individuals who are able to, and I've had this experience with individuals who spontaneously go there without any instructions. It's a very, to me, it's not a suggested state. It's, I don't want to use the term holy, but it's a very special state.
While I'm waiting for someone else to come up with a question, here's one. How is this state related to, if it is, states of meditation? I suppose it means the states that meditation accomplishes. Also is asked, is it related to any of the metaphysical states like the saints have been known to accomplish?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's related to some states that some masters of martial arts achieved. It's related to some of the states that very, we'll say, spiritual people have achieved. It's not something that I take very lightly. I always have felt that once a person reaches that, to me, I consider it a very sacred state, I guess is the best word. But anyone can achieve it. But it's not really a suggested state.
Are there any scientific communities such as universities that have been honest and truly shown a desire to do scientific empirical research on the state?
The research that was done was by Dr. Dolman and Dr. Marco back when Walter was still around. And of course, all that research, all the documentation is held by a particular organization whose name I won't mention. Upon Walter's passing, the day, of course, I saw you that day, Cal. I spoke to a group of individuals at that same location, and person who runs this organization screamed when I said that he had passed, and this person got up out of the chair, walked over to me, and said, how did he know? You had to be the one. How did he know? And I said, what are you talking about? And this person said, he told me that you would be the one to come and tell me that he passed. How did he know? He told me years ago. How did he know? And I was kind of in shock. And this person said, you don't understand. You really don't. He left something for you. He left a lot of things for you. I have to give you. He told me to give them to you when you came to me and told me he had passed. How did this man know? And of course, I myself was in shock at that time with it. So this particular people now won't release this to me, and that's where all the research and documentation is. What we've decided to do, Dr. Carrasco and I, is to reopen this research. We're looking to get some grants because some of them are quite extensive, and we're seeing what we can do. Dr. Carrasco feels that we'll be able to get the grant so we can continue and document the research and make it available for everyone.
I vividly remember that day when we talked and when all that happened, and I'm all goosebumply as you talk about it. I see another question here from James in North Carolina. If you have a client, but they don't seem as deep as you would like, what deepening would you use?
Well, first of all, Cal, of course, you already know, I count differently than most people do. What I've done to get people much deeper, and this is what I've done early on in my training with Walt, I reversed the traditional method of counting. Most people, to deepen, they'll count from 10 down to 1. And to bring them back to the surface or emerge them, they may count the same way or a different way. What I realized early on was that didn't seem to go right, because if we're asking for more of something, we have to denote this in the counting. So we have to go to a larger number. So to deepen, I always start with a small number, like the number 1, and then I move on up to a larger number. So I'll count 1, 2, and I don't go any more than 10. I don't believe in going beyond that. And why that is? Because we have, I can't bring the other hand up or I'll go off, we have 10 digits in front of us all the time. It makes it easy for the brain to get it. Or to me, what Dave Ellman was talking about when he said the critical analytical factor was the brain, not so much the conscious mind. But if we can get past the analyzation of the brain, analyzing the input coming in, and what I found by counting from smaller numbers going to larger numbers, you get people deeper much faster and much deeper.
Beautiful. Yes. And as soon as I heard your explanation of that, I immediately changed the way I did counting. And I also passed that knowledge, just as you put it, onto all of my students that go through our certification course. So thank you for that. But it wasn't easy after years of counting the other way to change the direction of counting. But I'm a slave to logic. That made good sense to me. And so I made the change. We have a Cheryl from Wisconsin. She asks, what kind of statements do you say once they're in the state? Direct statements? Basically, what do you do once they're there?
Well, I speak to the person as if I'm speaking to them, you know, to their conscious. I talk to them. I don't go off into metaphors. I speak very clearly, just like I'm speaking to you right now. Even though I speak in a softer tone, the person's subconscious does not need me to yell. As a matter of fact, there was a little experiment I did with one person. While they were in this state, the Secord state, I thought to them to raise their right arm. I only thought it, and that arm began to rise. I didn't say it verbally. Then I said, so-and-so subconscious, you heard me. And, of course, the voice spoke and said, of course, I hear your thoughts as well as your words.
Very interesting. I'm going to get one more question here before we run out of time. Bruce R. from Australia, glad to see you here online, Bruce, one of our grads. One of the myths and fears of hypnosis is being stuck in hypnosis. Does it take longer to self-emerge from this state?
No longer than it takes you to emerge from a light state. Once you're conditioned, and you can come in and out very rapidly. As a matter of fact, I used to demonstrate with another person when I was in Florida how fast a person can come in and out of these very profound, deep states into full awareness without any ill effects. And of course, this was done in front of a bunch of nurses, and they were saying, oh, the blood, the heart, the blood pressure, this, the shock on the system. And I had them monitor this person's blood pressure and heart rate. There was no change. It remained the same, even though they were being slammed in and out of state. So how fast does it take you to come out? As fast as you want to.
Thank you so much for that. James Ramey, we're run out of time. If you'd like to make just a couple of statements to wrap it up, and then we're going to have to say goodnight.
Fine. Like, I'd like to say that, you know, if you're really interested in helping a person reach these depths, take the training. It's one of the finest distant learning courses, I believe, that you can get. Of course, I've thrown in 30 minutes of free mentoring, and that's all explained in the packet that you'll find in the packet of materials. It's very important that if you want to learn this, you learn it well, just like anything that you do. If you want to do something, you do it well or don't do it at all. I believe I have probably the finest courses out in teaching an individual how to do this. I wish I could be there live with you to teach, but unfortunately, because of the way it's scattered all over the request, this was the best way, and I still thank those doctors, and they were doctors from Puerto Rico who had asked me to do this many years ago. So if you're interested, here's the place to get it, through the Banyan Mall.
Thank you so much, James. I'm so glad to have you. For everyone here, I'd like you to look down there at the bottom. There's instructions. You can either, if you're on live right now, you can click on the Go There Now button. For those of you guys listening in, you can simply go to www.banyanhypnosismall.com. And then there on the left, you will see where our navigation system is. And you can click on Video. And then a new window will come up. Click on U.S. and Canada. That's just a zone thing, so you can make sure that you get the proper videos for your area. As far as I know, they're not available in other zones yet. Then click on Learning Hypnosis. Then click on Ultra Depth Process In-Home Study Course. Again, one is BanyanHypnosisMall.com. Then click on Video. Then click on U.S. and Canada, then click on Learning Hypnosis, and then click Ultra Depth Process In-Home Study Course. Now, for you guys who can go right now, you'll see that we're keeping this on the main page. So for the next week or two, it's my intent to keep James' home study course right on the front page, so you won't have to go through all that. Just go to Banyan Hypnosis Mall. Okay, thank you very much, James. Thank you for everyone that came. It's time for us to log off. We ran over a little bit because we started a little bit late, but thank you all. James, I look forward to a long and lasting and rewarding relationship with you and Ultra Depth. Good night, everyone. Cal Banyan, over and out.